Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
All right, well, welcome to episode 7 of the Disciple Making Leader. So excited about this seventh episode, and man, we've had some great conversations. My name, by the way, is Glenn Underhill. I am the executive director for Disciple First, a ministry that really just revolves around training people to look at the life and ministry of Jesus and how did Jesus do it, and could we shape and relook at how we do ministry his way. We coach, consult, and then we also do a lot of resourcing as well. So this is part of that resourcing piece is this podcast. I know my guest and the man that I have on here, a good friend for many years, who's recently written a book called The Disciple Making Leader, and we're walking through that through these episodes. So, Craig, why don't you quickly introduce yourself, and then we'll jump into today's episode.
All right. How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm good, Craig.
Great to see you. Good to be here with you. And Craig Etheridge. I'm the lead pastor at Cross Creek Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And just super excited about what we're talking about today, because we're really talking about how do we raise up leaders, and not just any kind of leader, but how do we raise up disciple-making leaders? You know, that's really the difference. You know, Glenn, we've talked about in previous episodes that, you know, there's the superstar leader, you know, the guy that, hey, right, I'm the secret sauce, you know, and, yep, and we tend to want to have those people on our team because we're going to get maybe some quick results.
Right.
But the downside of that is that type of leader typically does not multiply themselves. They kind of feel like they're the only ones who can do this particular thing. And so they may take you for a distance, but then they're going to hop off somewhere else, and then you're right back where you started from. What we really need are people that are disciple-making leaders that, yes, are competent, yes, are spirit-filled, yes, can do the job well, but can also aggregate, invest in and raise up a cadre of leaders around them that can multiply the ministry. And that's what we're sorely lacking.
Yeah, and that's kind of what, like you just said, we've been unpacking for the last 6 episodes, which we'd encourage you to go back. You can listen to those on our existing podcasts and catch those episodes, because it's really good. And I think that is, at in a nutshell, the essence of what we're really looking at. And not just saying, hey, what's a disciple-making leader look like? But let's go back to Jesus.
Right.
This idea of, hey, Jesus is not only the greatest disciple maker, but he was also the greatest disciple making leader. Mm-hmm. And did he have a strategy? Did he have an approach? Did he have a method for making disciple making leaders? And we believe he did. And
absolutely,
in fact, we even say the last 6 to 12 months of his ministry were really focused on leadership development pieces.
Yeah.
And so let's dive into today's, sure, podcast and jump right in, because I think there's some really good things to talk about. Because as we're now kind of shifting into this more practical piece of it, why don't we start with what are, you know, we've talked about it in one episode, the pathway that Jesus had for making a disciple, mm-hmm, but what's the, we've introduced this idea of the pipeline. What are those levels within a leadership pipeline that Jesus was also raising up this disciple-making leader to be?
Yeah, thank you. You know, what I'm going to give today, Glenn, is a 5-level leadership pipeline. This is kind of a typical pipeline for an average church. Sometimes you may not have 5 levels, right? If you're a church plant or you're a smaller church, you may not need all 5 levels at that point. You may be scaling up to that.
Right.
If you're a larger church, you may need more than 5. You know, it just kind of depends. So there's a scalability to this, but we're just going to start off with 5. Just as kind of a baseline, and that is simply that, you know, kind of at the bottom of the pipeline, or at the initial stage of the pipeline, would be you need a self-leader. A self-leader is really a volunteer. This is somebody that, you know, they're not overseeing anybody. They're just leading themselves. And if you can't lead yourself, you certainly can't lead other people. And so we're going to actually do a deeper dive today on the self leader. But above that self leader then would be a team leader. This would be somebody who leads a team of two to 10, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a little bit more than that. But they are giving direction to a team of people to accomplish a ministry task. Then you have the leader of leaders. This leader of leaders, and we're going to do a whole episode just on that one, mm-hmm. really oversees multiple team leads. And then above the leader would be what we call a departmental leader. This is somebody who's going to oversee a whole department, like the student ministry, kids ministry, worship ministry, you name it, men's, women's ministry, however you parse that out. That's a departmental leader. They're giving oversight to all the leaders of leaders, all the team leads, and all the volunteers in that ministry department. And then above that would be the organizational leader. And these are either executive pastor, senior pastor, depending on your polity, and maybe board of elders. You know, it can be right. different. But these are the people that are overseeing the whole organization, and they're trying to give direction to the whole organization moving forward. And so, Glenn, those are the five levels of leadership. And of course, Mac Lake has done a great job writing resources. We're very appreciative. We were on his podcast not too long ago, and has really given a lot of great content on these. So we recommend him as well.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a deeper dive into this self-leader. The beginning point of this leadership pipeline, and I think maybe a good place to start is let's kind of give a good definition of what a self-leader is. I know you gave a little bit of a description, but I know that in the book you actually give a very specific definition of a self-leader, and then I think after that let's kind of even start looking at what are some of the distinctives of a self-leader.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the book, we give a whole chapter to this, and so we're obviously not being able to cover all the content, but we'll kind of do a flyby. A definition of a self-leader is this. Self-leaders are those who volunteer in your ministry. They are not asked to lead others. They are only asked to lead themselves and to accomplish a ministry task. And Glenn, these are just super important, right? I mean, we cannot do a Sunday morning without a lot of these people.
Right.
When we put them on the low end or the initial stage of a leadership pipeline, we're not in any way saying that these are subpar are people. You know, that's not a scale of value. In fact, if that were the case, it'd probably be flipped the other way around, because we need many, many, many volunteers. And when you run out of volunteers, you just simply can't do ministry. We are every church is a volunteer organization. And so we're so thankful for those that choose to give their time, their talent, their treasure to the Lord and engage as a volunteer. And this, and Glenn, you oversee, you know, a whole lot of departments at our church, and you know how many volunteers it takes in running kids ministry and student ministry and adults, and then you get into guest services and communications, just on and on it goes. We need a whole lot of these folks, and so we have to know how to really value them, you know, well, recruit them well, treat them well. And I'm sure you know what it's like when you have a crunch and you don't have these people.
Right. Yeah. It can be devastating to a ministry. It can create feelings amongst others that there's not safety, or it's just super, really super important that that you be able to have these self-leaders, because they are the boots on the ground, right? Yeah. They're doing work of ministry, and they are absolutely critical to the overall mission of the church.
Yeah.
And yet you have to have them, and they really can make or break. And so I think it's important to be able to really be able to not only define what they do, but I think it's important to even give some distinctives, as we just were saying. What are some of those distinctives that would really distinguish a self-leader?
So when we think about what do self-leaders need, there are a couple of things that come to my mind. One is they need clarity and training on their specific task before they do the job. Right. That before they do the job piece is really important, because I mean, how many times is it going to be like, oh my gosh, we need somebody that can fog a mirror just to get in here, right? And just you know, we need urgent need in the nursery. We got to have urgent need over here. And so we're constantly plugging dikes, right? So we're recruiting people, and then we just kind of toss them in. And we don't mean that in a negative way, but gosh, we don't really train them well beforehand. We don't really prepare them beforehand. They don't get a chance to observe, you know, that type of thing. So they're just kind of learning as they go. And many times that could come across as, man, you don't really care about me. You know, I'm just here solving your problem. You're not really investing in
me
at all.
I'm just filling a slot.
Yeah, I'm just filling a slot. I'm a cog in the wheel, and I don't really matter. And we certainly don't want that to happen. So one of the things we have to do with our volunteers is have a plan of how to clarify what it is we want them to do, by either modeling, by having it in writing, and then really be able to prepare them well before they do that task. Yeah. I was talking with somebody just the other day, and they were complaining about what they were doing, and they said, you know what, they didn't prepare me for this, they didn't really train me for this, they just kind of threw me into it, and I didn't know what I was doing, and you know, and boy, that could be said of a church, you know, all day long.
Yep.
And so we need to, number one, clarify and train them before they do the work. Number two, they need vision to see how their task is contributing to the greater purpose of the church.
Yep.
Right? You're not just making coffee, you're creating a warm environment for a guest, right? You're not just babysitting kids, you're helping shape their spiritual experience even as a child, and creating a safe place for the parent to come.
Yeah, and I was going to say that's so key, because if someone doesn't understand the essence of why they're doing what they're doing, they can lose sight of the big picture of the mission, and that they're needed to fulfill that piece, because they are helping to move the mission forward, and that each person is playing an individual task and role that's super uber important to us achieving what you know Jesus has called us to do, is to make and multiply disciples. And so the cool part is they're getting to play a part in that and to see that happen. And that's one of the things, like, even, I think about kids ministry, you know, sometimes it can be seen as, well, hey, we're just doing childcare, but not only, which is just not the case. I mean, they're getting a chance to shape the next generation, but they're also participating in helping those children's families be able to be a part of another piece of community, or of another serving opportunity that's engaging and helping others to move forward in their faith journey as well. So it really matters. And when you can see how you play a small part in the larger picture, man, it really helps to motivate them and to help them stay focused on why it is what they do what they do.
Yeah. So that's critical. So clarifying, you know, what their job is beforehand, really casting vision. Another thing they need, and this is often overlooked, Glenn, is they need spiritual encouragement. You know, many times we're like, hey, we need this task done. We need this slot filled. And then once it's filled, we kind of move on, and we don't see these volunteers are people that we need to be nurturing spiritually. We need to be discipling them. We need to be investing in them. This is what that team leader, and then this person's underneath their care, and not only to pastor them well, but to disciple them and invest in them spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to belabor this, but it does have a very crucial element, because from time to time, a self-leader will get discouraged. You know, something goes wrong, or something happens the way it wasn't supposed to, or, you know, whatever that might be, they do need that flame stoked a little bit from time to time to remind them, hey, what you're doing, going back to that vision, going back to, you know, the clarity and the training, all help to remind them and encourage them that what they're doing really matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some people at this level of the organization just volunteering, they may not even be believers yet. I mean, you can have people holding the doors and people working in the parking lot and people doing all kinds of things around your church that are still maybe even in the explore stage of their spiritual journey. And so it's just really important to be thinking, where's this person at spiritually? How can I help them take a next step? This is often the low-hanging fruit of who should I disciple? This is the first place I go. Okay, who's already with us and serving in some capacity that hasn't been discipled yet? Man, this is easy place to begin.
Yeah, it becomes a good fishing pool because you're being able to watch and observe them and see their consistency and faithfulness and availability and their teachability and responsiveness as they're starting to serve in these areas of self-leader roles and tasks. And that's going to look different from church to church and how that plays out and what that looks like, what we consider these self-leaders might look a little bit different somewhere else. But that's for churches, to bring some clarity to and to understand. But I think that it just helps to continue to be vitally important for that process.
Yeah. And then just the last one I would add is that they need pastoral care, right? They need somebody that's going to say, hey, you're on our team. You're part of our family. We're serving together. We're doing life together. We care about you. And not just feel like, hey, I'm coming in and I'm doing my task and nobody really cares about me or how my week is or ministering to me. That breaks my heart. I know that happens. I know that people come in and they're really volunteering to serve the Lord, but nobody's really asking them how their day was or, you know. And man, this is just a great opportunity for us to love our people well in this particular environment. Imagine what it would look like to be part of a movement. Imagine raising up church leaders. Imagine launching disciple-making churches all over the world. Imagine you being a part of growing God's kingdom far beyond your own city. Well, you don't have to imagine, it's happening, and you can get involved. The Cross Creek Network is a church planting network committed to planting disciple-making churches in cities like Las Vegas, New York, Montreal, Lusaka, and entire regions like Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. If your heart's desire is to plant churches that make disciples and multiply, then join us. Together, we can make a difference that lasts for eternity. To find out more, go to crosscreeknetwork.com. That's crosscreeknetwork.com.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was having one of my one-on-one meetings with one of my direct reports. And we have a phenomenal kids pastor, and we were walking through kind of this whole self-leader piece, and you know, he's got a notebook for every single one of his leaders, and it talks about the big picture, and it, you know, and he, you know, he does a great job of clarifying each specific task or whatever role that they may be playing as a self-leader in their part of the big picture. And it, and he has, you know, he does training, not only, you know, he does a large training, but then he does some continual training throughout the year, and he does it through some creative means and through, you know, different ways. It's just really good. And then, you know, he's fabulous at casting great vision. They can see how their piece plays a part of the greater good of our kids ministry, as well as a mission as a whole, as a church. And he's dynamic at encouraging, and he does neat things. I mean, like, his team writes letters to all of their volunteers throughout the year, handwritten notes. I mean, who doesn't want to get a handwritten note saying, hey, thank you for what you, but they labor over, but it's making a difference.
Hey, I've even gotten one of those notes.
I know. Saying, hey, thanks for being a part of this particular event or this particular project or this particular thing. And I am often, someone will come by and say something to me, or he'll send certain things, like if they're sick or they're ill, and he'll send them, you know, a little nice little treat or something along the way. But I'm constantly, you know, people are telling me, man, I just feel like I am a part of an amazing team. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, we were in a lunch yesterday with one of his with one of his volunteers, and he was like, "Man, I love what I do, and this is my sweet spot." And
he said, "This is what I meant to do."
Yeah, and he was very really clear incredible. On what he was doing, and he feels cared for, and he's giving. And what's interesting is when you look at his journey, he's moved up the pipeline in our kids ministry, right. but he started at that self-leader, but now he's on that core team,
right.
but how that's been brought through that pride. And I'm just like, wow, such a cool thing.
And it's a great picture of what we're talking about here. And I would just say to any pastor leader that's listening to us, that, man, this is really, really important. I mean, this is kind of where you start is, okay, how well am I clarifying? How well am I investing in, shepherding well? How well am I casting vision to my volunteers? Because we have lots and lots of volunteers in every department, and they need a lot of attention. And we can't just throw them into the job and then move on to the next thing. We just really can't do that. And so, and if you're doing, a lot of times they're doing that because the span of care, like I'm one person, I'm trying to oversee right. 30 teams. And so I just start plugging dikes. And so that really gets down to span of care and, right. you know, what level, what layers of your organization do you already have in place? So I would just say that these are the main needs or distinctives of a self-leader. And it's really cool to watch how Jesus does this, you know, when we study the Gospels.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I know in the book you even kind of give some ways that Jesus actually was doing this as he was developing self-leaders.
Yeah.
In fact, I think you identify five things. So let's just real quickly walk through those five as a way to help introduce how did Jesus develop these self-leaders.
Yeah, so we'll just go through them pretty quickly. But one thing Jesus did really well was he cultivated curiosity. And I go back to John 1, 35 through 39, when, remember, Andrew and John are following Jesus. This is right in the early stages. John the Baptist just said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." These guys follow after Jesus. And he turns around to him and he asks them a question, you know, what do you want?
Right.
They're like, well, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. So this idea of come and see, come hang out, come check this out. He was cultivating curiosity. He was inviting them in. What a great way to recruit somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're working in the student area, to say, hey, man, you should come and see what's going on. You know, I would use those words. Those are great words. You know, why don't you come and see that, man, God's moving. This is such a great, exciting place. We have so much fun. Why don't you come and check it out and come watch for a little bit? Mm-hmm. Jesus was a master at inviting people in.
Yep.
And just making it easy for them to come and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I just so much love about Jesus, because he saw the potential mm-hmm. in every person as one created in the image of God. But this idea of how do you help them begin to really move to that next level is you start with that cultivating that curiosity, that yeah. come and see, come and just come and watch and be a part. And I think you're going to catch a lot of excitement over what you see and want to be a part of it.
You know, Glenn, recruiting based on guilt is not really that great. Yeah. Recruiting based on crisis is not even that great.
Yeah. Well, and I think we fall into a trap in church, unfortunately, because we do. I mean, I say to my teams all the time, hey, recruiting is something where it's an ongoing
right.
A task, right? An ongoing thing. And we should never get to a spot where it's just, hey, there's nothing left to do. And I throw up, you know, because then we're in a trouble place.
Right.
But I think this idea that, you know, just sending out messages saying, hey, we need volunteers this is what I loved about Jesus is because he personalizes that invitation.
Right.
And I
right.
think that is the best form for anybody as you're moving them up, but especially here at the serving level, the self-leader is that personal invitation of saying, hey, I see you. I recognize something unique and special about you, and I think you could make a meaningful contribution. Come and see.
Yeah. Not just an announcement in the program, not just a call for urgent need from the platform. You know, a lot of guys go, well, I got to recruit from the platform. Well, I would say that's the lowest form of recruitment.
Right.
That's not how Jesus did it. No. Jesus did it, this personal invitation. So somebody may be hearing us saying, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say because you probably have a whole lot of people. But, you know, I wouldn't even know where to begin. You know, the only thing I can do is go from the platform. But I would start with who do you already have and who do they know?
Right.
You know, start with, okay, I've got five people in the nursery. I need 10. Well, who do they know? Who are they in relationship with? And could you kind of run down that and run down that road and then have individual conversation with two or three people that they already know that are going to have relationship with them and say, hey, would you come and just check out what's happening here? We're so happy. Casting vision the whole way. You're going to get much further down the line than just having an urgent plea from the platform.
And that's, it's fun to serve in ministry with others that you're in relationship with too,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So I think it that is a great, great action thought for some of those out there that are saying, where do I begin? Just start with your existing volunteers and ask them, hey, give me the list of 3 to 5 people you might know that I could make contact with and put a phone call into. Or I, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about on our team is, hey, who are the two or three people I need to have a strategic conversation with?
Yeah.
Is it might relate to something like this? Because
yeah,
we're thinking about it intentionally. We're thinking about it differently.
Yeah.
Because it's about the mission.
Yeah, come and see. It's so, such a great line of Jesus that you can use. Another thing Jesus did was he spent time with them. I love John 3:22, and it just says that Jesus, speaking of his disciples, it literally says he spent time with them. Mm. And again, this is a way that Jesus invests in his leaders. We really don't have the option these days of just getting, you know, a plea from the platform, then we stick them in a room, and then we don't spend time with them. And I know what people are thinking, Glenn, right now. I don't have time to spend time, you know, with these people. But you really don't have the luxury of not spending time with them if you want to cultivate a healthy team environment and if you want to cultivate a cohesiveness on your ministry team. And so I would say that, you know, obviously this is why you want a leader, a team leader overseeing a handful of volunteers,
right,
that can spend time with them. And spending time, you know, for Jesus may look different than it does for us, but it could mean strategic lunches. It could mean strategic breakfast times. It could mean going to their kids' ball game and you're hanging out with them in the stands. But just being intentional about spending time with these volunteers is really super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge. And that's so good. What about the third one?
Yeah, the third one is Jesus sparked spiritual conversations. You know, in John 3, you have Jesus in this conversation with Nicodemus. And so Jesus is sparking these spiritual conversations. And I think that early on, you need to be sparking spiritual conversations with your volunteers, because honestly, we really don't know many times where they're at spiritually. Yet just because they've been in the church for 50 years doesn't mean they're walking with Jesus.
Right.
Doesn't even mean that they know Jesus.
Right.
And a lot of times we assume, I just think we assume way too much. We get people into leadership roles and we don't really even know where they're at spiritually. And so a part of that cultivating curiosity and spending time is talking to them about their spiritual growth and really beginning to invest in their spiritual growth. And I'll go ahead and just say, in addition to that, number four is that Jesus really stretched them beyond their comfort zone. You know, as you're investing in them spiritually, how can you kind of stretch them to try new things?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you kind of see if this person is kind of tapped out in their ability. I mean, that's just kind of all that they can do. Or if they're really to take a step up and maybe come start moving up that pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, especially someone new coming into that self leader, they've not maybe ever served before, or maybe they've served in an area that's that maybe now is requiring a little bit more commitment on their end. There is a sense of, hey, I'm being asked to do something outside of what's my norm, the comfort spot. But I think there's something really great about that, because it's in that area that they have to wrestle with and really start to depend on who? Depend on the Holy Spirit to work in them and through them. And they begin to see that, you know what, ministry happens best when I'm operating under the work and the control of the Spirit of God in me and through me. And it just, again, begins to cultivate opportunities for transformation and growth, because they're getting to serve and to exercise dependency, to exercise faith, to exercise their spiritual gift, that spiritual muscle, and it I think it brings about some really transformational touch points.
Absolutely. And Glenn, think about how many great leaders in your church, in our church, in other people's churches that are not moving up the pipeline, right? They're not emerging simply because we're not really looking at that volunteer as someone, you know, what else do they have that they can contribute? How else could they might contribute in a higher way? We're so busy plugging the dike, not spending time with them, overstretched,
right,
overstressed, that we're missing out on all this latent potential that is there at the first step at this self-leader category. And so it might be a good little exercise is to stop. And every leader, just take a look at the volunteers that you have and start thinking, you know, if I had to pick one or two of these that I really think could have the potential to move to a team lead or maybe even a divisional lead at some point, which one would they be?
Yep.
And what would it take to spend a little more time with them, to spark spiritual conversations with them, to start stretching them, asking them to lead out in some more areas, and just see what happens? You know, I think if we would just stop and think about it for a minute, ask the Spirit of God to reveal who He's at work in, we could be overlooking some really great leadership that's already there.
Yeah, and I think this is where Jesus was so good is, we talk about heads down time and heads up time on my team, and the importance as departmental leaders to be spending a lot of time on heads up and thinking about these kinds of things you're talking about and helping their team leads think of heads up time and really diving into some of these things, because I think it's super, super strategic, and I think I think everybody at some point along the line wants to be challenged. I was recently reading a book where it talked about, as people are moving through the life of your church and deciding if they're going to stick, right? They want to know that they're liked, that they're valuable, that they are growing, that they're accepted, and that they're being challenged. And I think about that, and I'm like, man. Jesus was so good at taking that next step and asking them to be challenged to do that.
Absolutely. And I would just add one more on this great conversation. By the way, we could go on and on talking about empowering our volunteers. But one other thing that Jesus did that was really great is that He was able to quickly diffuse negativity. You know, right off the bat, every volunteer is going to be faced with some negative experience, right? You know, some mama that's upset because of how their baby was, handled or not handled or whatever, or somebody barked at them and they're a greeter or in the parking lot or whatever the case may be. That's just part of it. You know, you're dealing with all kinds of people in different places, but being able to quickly address those things and kind of diffuse that negativity is really, really important. You see this in John 4, but you also see this in other places throughout the gospel where Jesus is dealing with Pharisees, right? And these emerging leaders are watching all this go down. And so I think that it's important to be aware of how are my volunteers, what kind of negativity are they experiencing? Let's talk about that. Let's maybe equip them with skills on what to do when they have the situation. Who do they need to direct that person to? Maybe they don't need to be handling all of that. They can just direct them to the team lead or to somebody else. And so I think thinking about that in advance, preparing them in advance, will help them want to keep doing the job and not go, man, I'm not going to be treated like this anymore. I quit. You know, right. You don't want that.
No.
So you got to show them how to handle negativity when it comes.
Well, man, that's so good. And I hope that this podcast has been incredibly meaningful to you as you're thinking about this idea of raising up the right kinds of leaders, disciple-making leaders. And it starts on that level of really starting with that self-leader and really being able to think about those distinctives as well as how did Jesus go about developing these kinds of leaders. So again, thank you for listening to this seventh episode. And you can, again, be listening to all of these. You can go back and listen to the ones prior to this. And super excited about our next one as we're going to be talking about the team leader. And so you'll want to, come back on and hear that podcast as well. But thank you to Craig for being here with me again. It's always a pleasure to get to hang out with you and spend some time talking about our favorite thing about disciple-making leaders.
Amen, brother. Thank you very much. It's great. And my prayer for every person listening to this, that you will just experience the leadership of the Spirit of God in raising up great self-leaders that will expand and grow your ministry.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.